Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, pneumatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Speaking about the separation of money and state, man, are the central bankers absolutely terrified. Whether you have Fabio Panetta, you know, member of the European Central Bank that's behind, you know, the implementation of central bank digital currencies over there. You have him freaking out. You know, you have him writing all these blog posts, memetics on Twitter, you know, with him walking in a suit saying why Bitcoin is bad and all of it for some reason their, you know, central bank digital currency is good. Well, you have very similar language, and we have a video for you guys that we're going to play. And this is the head of the Reserve Bank of India, which is the central bank of India. And guess what? Very similar things, right? Like, the, you know, Bitcoin and altcoins are dangerous. You know, it's bad. It circumvents their ability to control monetary policy and all these things. So that's what they're saying. But the argument that I'm going to make to you guys is this is what winning feels like. This is what fear feels. This is what fear looks like in them. And remember, they're used to basically operating in a society or an environment where there's absolutely no competition. And then Bitcoin comes along and it's like, ha ha ha. And they can't kill it. They can't regulate it out of existence the way that they were able to, even in totalitarian China, right? Even in, you know, mainland China, right? It's estimated that, according to an article by Mackenzie Sigalos, it's estimated that 20% of the hash rate is still located in China, even after the ban, right? So you can't kill this thing. Honey Badger doesn't want to go away, but watching them squirm, and in the process of them squirming, they're revealing a lot. They're revealing their cards. And not only does this apply to, you know, the central bankers, whether that's India or Europe, this also applies to politicians as well. You guys all remember the bill introduced by Senator Marshall and Senator Elizabeth Warren that would force software developers in the United States to register with the state if they wanted to develop code for Bitcoin, right? So it's like, but they're, what I believe they're doing is that they're attempting to move the Overton window. I don't think it's working, right? But they're also trying, they're also in the process of attacking Bitcoin. They're exposing the tyrannical nature of what the world that they want is like, right? Of which they control, they dictate, they get to basically dictate what is the inflation rate? What is the monetary policy? What is the money supply? That's the world that they want for us. And the world that Bitcoiners are advocating for is like, hey, no one should control the monetary policy. Right? It should be set in stone, rules without rulers. And that's better. That's better than the world that they're advocating for. Right? But it's just absolutely insane. Right? It's insane on its head. And then also during the news segment, I'm actually really excited. We have, you know, a friend over from Luxing Mining Pool, which right now, Jaron, please correct me if I'm wrong. It's estimated that Luxor represents 6-7% of the Bitcoin hash rate. So it's a big player in the space. So we have him today, and we are going to talk about basically a discussion on how Bitcoin mining can incentivize renewable energy. And I would even add to that, Jaron, I would say not only can it, I think it already has. So we're going to talk about that. Very interesting discussion. I'm going to bring him up on stage. Jaron, how you doing? Welcome to Simply Bitcoin. We are super happy to have you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm doing great. Really happy to be invited here.
Well, happy to have you. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti?
I am doing wonderful. What's up, Jaron? What's up, everyone out there? Happy to be back. Yeah, man. It's like you said, it's almost like they're scared out there. It's almost like the central bankers know that Bitcoin continuously stays winning. And then, of course, in the culture, it's a holiday out there. And it's Martin Luther King Day. And so I'm going to do some Nico Jones thing. I'm going to make the case that Martin Luther King would have been a Bitcoiner. I'm going to use some of his quotes to express what we Bitcoiners say all the time. So I don't know. I'm excited for this one. It's hard not to get excited over here at Simply Bitcoin every single day. So let's go.
Let's go. All right, everybody. Let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers. brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody, the Bitcoin price is 21,035, the sats per dollar 4,754, the block height 772,257, the reachable Bitcoin nodes 14,557, the blocks of the halving 67,743, halving estimates April 24, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity 5,181 Bitcoin, capacity value $109 million, the realized monetary inflation of Bitcoin 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin $405 billion with a B. Anyways, I want to provide some context. This came out. It came out about 10 hours ago. This article from Bitcoin.com says Indian central bank chief insists crypto should be banned, warns, quote, it will undermine authority of the Reserve Bank of India. The specific quote is, the Reserve Bank of India's position on crypto is very clear. It should be banned. And before I give you guys more context, let's play the clip and then we'll talk about it.
Cryptocurrencies have the potential, you know, they have the characteristics of becoming a means of exchange. That is, they can become a means of exchange of doing a transaction. And most of it is dollar denominated. So if you allow it to grow, assume a situation where 20% of our transactions in the economy, 20% I'm mentioning an ad hoc number, 20% of the transactions in the economy is taking place through cryptos, which are not issued by the central bank. It is issued by private companies which are placed all over the world. The Reserve Bank, being the monetary authority of the country as the central bank, will lose control over the money supply in the economy. We will lose control over 20% of the transactions in our economy. Reserve Bank's ability, the central bank's ability to decide monetary policy, to decide on the liquidity of, you know, the level of liquidity that needs to be maintained, the level of money supply, M3, that has to be maintained in the economy, the Reserve Bank's authority to that extent will get undermined. It will lead to a dollarization of the economy. And please believe me, these are not empty alarm signals or empty, you know, I'm getting, this can happen. 1 year ago in the Reserve Bank, we had said that this whole thing is likely to collapse sooner than later. And if you see the developments over the last 1 year, climaxing in the FTX episode, I think I don't need to add.
Okay, so a lot of things were said there. Another, at the very end, right, he's doing what Elizabeth Warren was doing, is he's using the FTX blow up as an excuse. So the whole thing is going to collapse. Well, if it's going to collapse, then why are you calling to banning it? If it's going to collapse on its own, then what's the point, right? It doesn't make sense, right? A couple other things, right? So lose control over transactions, take away the central bank's monetary policy. Well, what is that monetary policy, right? To set inflation, to steal people's money? Like, what is that monetary policy? And then none of them ask as to why people are choosing an alternative. Like, why is that? What is the incentive that people are choosing alternatives? Perhaps it's the censorship. Perhaps it's the capital controls. Perhaps it's inflation. Maybe people are just sick and tired of inflation. Why is that never talked about? It's always like, we must ban this thing, as if, you know, as if Bitcoin's some type of demon. Like, we must ban this thing. We must get rid of this thing because the world's going to burn down. I'm going to make the case that what they're really concerned about, and the guy mentioned it there, is keeping power and control. That's what it's always been about. That's what he's concerned about. If he really was concerned about the well-being of the people of India, then he would shut down the central bank and he would transition to a Bitcoin standard. But it's not about that. It's about keeping power and control over the people via monetary policy. That's what it's about. That's what the Elizabeth Warren bill is about. These people fundamentally believe they can run Bitcoin, they can run the monetary policy better. And I would make the argument that central planning never works. Let's transition to something that has rules without rulers. You can't control it, but neither can anyone else, right? The monetary policy is set in stone. It's a deflationary currency, meaning people's purchasing power will increase over time. But the problem is that the government will also lack the ability that they have right now to effectively control the money flows. And I think that's something that governments don't want to give up, even if it theoretically makes people's lives a little bit better. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about why he's saying stuff like that. According to the article by OutlookIndia.com, India ranks fourth in crypto adoption, sees $172 billion transactions from July 2021 to June 2022. And remember the crypto tax that they implemented as well, and what the unintended consequence of that tax was, where you had a record amount of outflows going out of Indian exchanges and going into foreign exchanges because people just weren't willing to pay that tax, right? This democratizes the world, right? No longer do governments have this advantage because this advantage because of a certain geographical location they have. Now, because Bitcoin is an internet money, because Bitcoin allows you to write down 12 words, 24 words, and take all of your wealth with you, what's going to happen is people are going to flow to where they're treated best, right? This is already happening in the United States, where California and New York are increasingly hostile towards businesses, right? And they also have very high income taxes. So people are leaving, and they're leaving in droves, and they're going to Texas and Florida. Now imagine that, what I just described, on a worldwide scale, right? Katie the Russian has built an entire business on that, right? The idea of the better flag theory, right? It doesn't make sense for me to stay here now that, you know, my standard is Bitcoin. I could take all of my wealth very easily, and governments still haven't come to terms with this new technological reality. And also, let's talk about incentives as well. This is a piece of information from the Reserve Bank of India's website, reservebankofindia.org. And I found something. How interesting is this? Government of India announced the launch of digital rupee, a central bank digital currency, from 2022 to 2023 onwards in the union budget placed in the parliament on February 1st, 2022. In the budget announced, it was stated that the introduction of central bank digital currencies will give a boost to the digital economy. Now, right. So it's interesting because you're seeing the same things play out, right? You saw the same things play out in Europe, right? Where the person who's responsible behind the central bank digital currency implementation in Europe, right, was also Fabio Panetta, was also responsible for implementing the central bank digital currency there. And he's the one that is hostile towards Bitcoin. Also, it seems like the Reserve Bank of India also has a central bank digital currency program. And guess what? Coincidentally, the head of the European Central Bank is also hostile towards Bitcoin. So they don't want to compete on an open market, which currency is best to use. People are going to choose what currency that they see fit. No. They want to stifle competition. They want to kill competition. They don't want to compete. They want to use the regulatory moat to kill their competition. Well, now there's competition. They're not going to be able to make it go away. So whatever currency provides the best incentives to the people using it is the currency that's going to win, period, full stop. We're already seeing this happen in Nigeria. The central bank digital currency program over there is failing. It's not being adopted. They're providing all these incentives. They just announced the banning of cash, right, to try to force people into central bank digital currencies. It's not working, right? It's estimated that 30-40% of the Nigerian population has already opted out into Bitcoin and shitcoins, right? So it's all about incentives at the end of the day, right? American HODL has that quote, no one's better than their incentives. I really fundamentally believe that. If people have a choice between a currency that can be controlled, censored, and steals from them, which is inflation, and they have a choice between that and the alternative, which is a currency that is deflationary, is censorship resistant, doesn't steal from you, and you know for a fact you could store it effectively if you take cold storage of it, what do you think people are going to choose if they had a choice? They're always going to choose the better currency, right? The problem that they're having, these central bankers, is that they can't comprehend a world of which they are not the better currency by default, by government regulation, right? By law, like this is whatever. Now they have to compete on the open market and they have to convince people, this is why you should sue CBDCs. I think they're going to lose. And the reason they're going to lose is because governments are always going to want to debase, because that's how they pay for themselves. And governments are always going to control and censor. And if there's an alternative that that doesn't happen in, what do you think people are going to flow to? Then this is what the peaceful revolution is all about. There's a reason it's called peaceful, because there's no guns, there's no violence, there's no, you know, political mishaps here. It's all about people's incentives. And my bet, right, is I think incentives are always going to win the day over coercion. And I think that's really the case here. I think that's really what's happening here. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts? And then we'll move on to Jaren.
Well, first and foremost, shouts out to, I forget what the guy's name is from India, but he said crypto way too many times for my liking. It's Bitcoin, not crypto. Come on, get this straight. And then obviously they're saying the silent part out loud. This sounds like capitulation in my mind. You know, in my opinion, the central bankers, the politicians, they're finally agreeing with us that Bitcoin will succeed. And not only will it, will we succeed, but they'll lose control by a result of this. Bullish AF, let's go. And then obviously, like at the very end of that video, like you mentioned, you know, they're still using the FTX collapse as the low-hanging fruit. Like, of course, we've been saying this for a while, that they will use that excuse for as long as people fall for it. And I really liked your framing where you said the central bankers and the politicians never talk about why people want to use Bitcoin. Like, this is what we need to always emphasize when we talk about Bitcoin. You know, we can frame Bitcoin in a lot of ways, but I think the best way to frame Bitcoin is why people are opting into Bitcoin. It's because we're tired of getting our wealthy base because of a small group of bankers, a small group of politicians and central planners manipulating the money supply. So, you know, Nico says that the central bankers and the unproductive class, as Marty Bent likes to say, don't want to compete. I double down and say that they can't compete. And it's what Nico said. You know, they're so used to having a monopoly on money. They're so used to having that regulatory moat, world reserve currency status, that they don't understand what it means to compete. And now we have a free market money, which is literally blowing them out of the water every single day, block by block. It's becoming very obvious to people around the world, to the average person around the world, that Bitcoin is a superior savings technology. Bitcoin is the superior financial payments tool. And the central bankers are scared. Like, that guy is just pure petrified because he understands what we understand. And I think this is something I've said in the past. I'd like to see more politicians and central bankers like this, because at least we know that their fear is transparent and honest. They know what we know. You know, shouts out, I say it all the time, shouts out to Brad Sherman. He is like the most honest politician out there when he goes and calls that Bitcoin is going to destroy their Cantillon effects. And now we have India's central banker saying essentially the same thing, that if they don't try to stifle the competition, which is Bitcoin, they will lose their position in the world. So again, it's just a Bitcoin signal rising to the top, and more people will learn this. And this is why we show up every single day and do our best to try to spread that information as far and wide as possible, so that the average person understands why we do what we do, why we hodl, why we continue to opt into the Bitcoin network.
Amen. Amen to that. Jaren, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said about incentives, because everything is, or human behavior is ultimately driven by incentives. And Bitcoin is going to prevail, it's going to take over the world, no matter how hard the central bankers and the governments try to fight against it. And you could see in the eyes of this, you could see fear in the eyes of this Indian central banker. He is really, really scared of Bitcoin. And I think he ultimately understands that Bitcoin is going to take over his country and the rest of the world as well. So, of course, the central bankers and governments' incentives is to fight against Bitcoin, but the people's incentives is to use Bitcoin.
100%. 100%. I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head, right? The people's incentives is to use Bitcoin, and their incentive is to fight Bitcoin. They want, central bankers want you to use their shitcoin that benefits them, versus Bitcoiners are like, hey, you know, use Bitcoin, it benefits me and you equally, right? And that's you know, that's a much different conversation. The conversation they're saying is, hey, you must use this or else, which is just absolutely ridiculous on its head. But anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. Let's do it.
The Daily News.
brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, so Jaron tweeted this out, and I thought this article was appropriate. Basically, let's talk about this. So Jaron, you tweeted this out. Tune in to Simply Bitcoin this week to hear a discussion how Bitcoin mining can incentivize renewable energy production. And coincidentally, this always happens by coincidence. This is an article by Bitcoin Magazine just dropped, our friends over at Bitcoin Mag. It says Bitcoin mining is proving to be a lifeline for Africa's oldest national park. It says, wow, why do they always give me the hard things? Okay. Virunga National Park, located in the Democratic Republic of Congo, is Africa's oldest protected space and a testament to the biodiversity and natural beauty of the continent. But the park has faced increasing pressure from local militia groups that have waged violent attacks on its animals and employees, all while various problems, including the pandemic, led to an extended closure of the park to tourists, which it claims represents approximately 40% of its revenue. A report in the MIT Technology Review describes how park director Emmanuel de Merode has turned to Bitcoin mining to monetize the park's abundant natural resources that are otherwise stranded in order to preserve the park's existence. De Merode met with Sebastian, wow, these names, owner of Big Block Green Services, which advised El Salvador on its Bitcoin city, described how they used to do mining by buying electricity. It wasn't efficient. The money maybe goes to oligarchs in Kazakhstan and Virunga. We see it's saving the park, right? So absolutely crazy. And these stories are just popping up left and right. And it's because Bitcoin monetizes stranded energy, energy that was already going to waste. And it's just a matter of time before people wake up to this reality. We have the example of ConocoPhillips. We have the example of ExxonMobil, right, using flared natural gas, and they're converting that into Bitcoin. That flared natural gas was going to go to waste regardless, right? So they figured out, Bitcoiners have figured out, hey, Bitcoin monetizes energy that is already going to waste. For the first time, we can actually give that stranded energy value. Those isolated energy pellets, we can give it value. Before, there was none. It was going to go to waste. It was too hard. It was too expensive to transport. It was too expensive to store. It didn't make sense. But because Bitcoin miners are so nimble, they can go to where, you know, they're treated best or where it's the most economical. You can go, you can put these anywhere around the planet. And that completely changes the energy conversation. So, Jaron, what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on that story? And perhaps maybe you have some stories that you could tell the audience as well.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful story. I really love to hear when Bitcoin is helping people in particularly Africa, because Africa really needs economic development. And this story, they already have the water in the national park. So they constructed a small hydropower plant to take advantage of this hydropower potential. And then they generate the energy to feed the Bitcoin mining machines with energy. So except for the construction cost of this hydropower plant, the energy is basically free, and it generates a substantial income for this national park, which allows them to pay their employees. And I think it's a great idea, and it's testament to how well Bitcoin mining fits together with particularly hydropower and other renewable energy sources. So we have to first make the distinction between fossil fuels and renewable energy. Like, I'm a energy agnostic. I don't think Bitcoin miners have a moral obligation to use renewable energy. That's not up to me to decide. But I still think Bitcoin miners are naturally drawn to renewable energy, exactly because renewable energy sources are way less flexible than fossil fuels. Fossil fuels, they can be consumed far away from where they are harvested. They can be consumed at a later time than they are harvested. While renewable energy resources, they generally needs to be consumed exactly at the moment they are harvested. You can't control the timing of the production, and you also need to consume them at the location, or at least close to the location where you have the resource. And the Bitcoin mining is a location agnostic process. You can set it up anywhere. It's also an interruptible process. You can just start and stop it, adjust the consumption as you want. It's also a modular process. You can design a Bitcoin mining load the size you want. The smallest Bitcoin mining load in the world is like one machine, which can consume less than 1 kilowatt of energy. And then the biggest Bitcoin mining load in the world is like several hundred megawatts of energy, so tens of thousands of machines. You can design it exactly to fit the size of your available energy. And until now, we have mostly seen small-scale hydro projects in Africa utilizing Bitcoin mining. But I think as Bitcoin grows bigger and its energy consumption becomes more like we can more know long-term how much energy Bitcoin will consume and how much Bitcoin miners will pay for energy, then I think Bitcoin miners will also contribute to financing bigger hydropower plants in Africa. And Africa has an enormous hydropower potential. There's only 11% of the hydropower potential in Africa that it's developed. So, and only 50% of the population in sub-Saharan Africa has access to electricity. And that's almost 600 million people. And this is one of the most energy-rich continents on the planet. So I really believe that Bitcoin mining could be one of the most important drivers for the electrification of Africa.
Yeah, dude, and like that is so, that statement that you said is so incredibly powerful, right? That Bitcoin, and before I get down that rabbit hole, because that got me incredibly excited, right? Can you talk a little bit about, and I really believe this, but I'd love to get your take, Jaren, which is that I believe that Bitcoin provides much stronger incentives to incentivize the development of renewable energy versus government subsidy, which is how really renewable energy is funded these days, right? A lot of renewable energy is not economically viable by itself. It requires those government subsidies. Could you talk a little bit about how Bitcoin could potentially replace those government subsidies and just by mere economics alone could incentivize the development, the R&D into renewable energies?
Yes, Texas or West Texas is a perfect example of that, because in West Texas, it's one of the most wind and solar rich places on the planet. And West Texas has seen a massive development of particularly wind power in the recent years. And this is due to subsidies, federal subsidies by the US government. They give a production tax credit, which basically means that they give a certain dollar amount per unit of energy these wind farms generate. And so West Texas has seen a much larger growth of wind power due to these subsidies than it would if the market could decide. If the market could decide, it probably wouldn't be that much development there, because there barely lives people in West Texas. And what has happened since then, the last few years, Bitcoin miners have flocked into West Texas to take advantage of this basically free wind power, which have been developed due to subsidies. So we see actually here a situation where subsidies led to malinvestment, overinvestment in wind power in West Texas, and Bitcoin miners come in here and actually take advantage of that, but also fix some of the problem, because these wind power plants, they don't receive subsidies forever. They only receive these subsidies for a few years. And after these subsidies, they can't receive these subsidies anymore, then Bitcoin miners can like provide these subsidies by paying for this energy that otherwise would be wasted. So we see how Bitcoin mining actually feasts on the malinvestment created by government subsidies.
Isn't it insane that, and a lot of the government bureaucrats are now attacking Bitcoin for using a lot of that excess energy, and they're actually trying to spin up narratives on how that's bad. So not only are they responsible for the misallocation of capital developing energy sources that are not necessarily going to be used because of their isolated nature, right? They also attack it because those energy sources are being used for something like that. What was that? Where was that going to go in the first place? Right. So I find that absolutely ridiculous. And I don't think they're dumb. Like, I know I've had Bitcoiners that are on two sides of the fence, right? We've had Bitcoiners that are like, they're misinformed, they just don't know any better. And then there's Bitcoiners that go from the simply side, which is like, they know exactly what they're doing. And this is more so about power and whatever. So I don't know. We can't tell you that, guys, for sure. You guys, you know, make your own conclusion. But what are your thoughts on that, Jaren? Did you find it as ridiculous as we do, right? It's like they're responsible for the build out of these sources. They want to push these sources. A lot of this energy policy has been catastrophic for the cost of energy to individuals, as is the example of what is happening in Europe, right? What are your thoughts on all this, Jaren?
But we also see in some locations that politicians and like government officials actually are more positive towards Bitcoin mining. And that's an example in Texas. I think it was yesterday, Brad Jones, which is the ex-CEO of ERCOT, which is the ICO in Texas, he stated that Bitcoin mining has helped them develop more renewable energy or integrate more renewable energy. And he has stated that before too. So in Texas, we see the grid operator and also the politicians being more positive toward Bitcoin mining. And that's because they have let it, they didn't stop the development of Bitcoin mining there. So they saw a huge development of mining there, and they was curious to how it would impact the grid, and it had a good impact on the grid. And now they're happy with it. But I can take another example from, I'm from Norway, and here the energy situation has been better before. So energy prices in Europe, as you all know, are extremely high, but they're not high in Northern Norway, where I'm originally from. So energy prices in Northern Norway are about 20 times lower than in Europe. So you can still mine Bitcoin in Northern Norway, and that's due to the abundance of hydropower, which can't get to the market in Europe. So that has led to an emerging Bitcoin mining sector in Northern Norway. But a lot of politicians, they don't want the Bitcoin miners there, even though there are no other possible consumers of this hydropower, which is just wasted if not Bitcoin miners consume it. And their argument is always, no, we need other industries. We need some battery factories or hydrogen factories or whatever. We don't want Bitcoin miners. But Norway has tried for many years to increase our industries. But what happened is that industries move away from Norway because of high taxes and because of excessive government regulation. So they move out to places like China or other places in the world with with lower input costs and possibly lower regulations and taxes. So now when we finally have an energy intensive industry that wants to establish itself in Northern Norway, now they want to chase it away, which is completely absurd.
100%. Like, and I actually saw that news, and it's so absurd. And we covered that. We said, wait a second, if the majority of energy production in Norway comes from renewable energies, which is what they're advocating for, why do they still want to ban it? Which led us to the conclusion that perhaps this isn't just not understanding things. Perhaps this comes down to power and control, and then tie with what the government, with the central bank of the head of the Central Bank of India was saying. Right? It's very convenient that it's like, oh no, it's because of the energy, or is it really about control, monetary policy, you control people?
Exactly, and it's also really strange that a lot of these politicians and regulators who are against Bitcoin mining, they don't even understand Bitcoin. They don't even know really what Bitcoin is, but they just instinctively are against it. And I think they feel that Bitcoin is some kind of like, it has some substance. You know, it can really change things, and they realize that, and they're afraid.
100%. That's really what it comes down to. Opti, let's give the culture some time. Let's hit the culture. Let's check it out.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, everybody, there's a ton of Bitcoin conferences in the States. Opti and I are going to be at both of these. Check out the Bitcoin conference, BitBlock Boom, August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. It's not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. They talk about Bitcoin, Bitcoin, and only Bitcoin. You can take advantage of the promo code, all caps, simply Bitcoin. Get a big discount. Also, check out Unconfiscatable. We're also going to be there as well, December 7th and the 8th. The D Hotel in Las Vegas. There's also an epic Bitcoin poker tournament. You buy in with Bitcoin. I think the grand prize is about a Bitcoin. Awesome speaker list. You have Tone Vase, Jimmy Song, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, Crypto Couple, Giacomo. It's going to be absolutely epic. You can take advantage of the promo code SimplyBitcoin10. Get a big discount to the Unconfiscatable conference. I'm so excited for these Optis. It's going to be great.
Wow, we're doing some traveling this year. Let's
go.
We
are. Simply Bitcoin on the move.
On the move. Okay, guys. Well, as I said, today is Martin Luther King Day. It's a federal holiday. So I had to start this bit off by the obligatory point that, you know, stock market is closed. You know, banks are closed. But Bitcoin is still working. It is still running. You do not need to ask permission to use Bitcoin. Bitcoin is running 24/7, 365. So that's the first point. You don't close Bitcoin. You don't shut it down. It still runs. This is a monetary network that never goes down. And hold on. Before I get too far in it, shouts out to Jonathan LeBeau. Thank you for the super chat. $9.99 USD. Dumping my fiat. LOL. Let's go. Appreciate it, bro. Okay. So, as I said, I'm going to make the case that I fully, fundamentally believe that if Martin Luther King was around, he would be a Bitcoiner. And I think people that believe in the legacy of MLK should also be Bitcoiners, because as we say all the time, Bitcoin is the peaceful revolution and it is the most inclusive, equitable money in the world. You don't have to ask someone's permission. The Bitcoin network doesn't care who you are, where you come from, what color, what creed you are. You just opt in. You have to make that free will choice, that free choice to join the Bitcoin network. This is an individual revolution, and the Bitcoin network is agnostic. It doesn't care who you are or where you come from. Just as long as you run the software, you are good to go. So I just went back and, you know, in light of what today is, I just kind of got some quotes and then we're going to, you know, Bitcoinize them for you guys because this is what we do here on the show. And so this is the famous I Have a Dream speech. And I'm not going to cover the whole thing, just some little tidbits that we literally talk about on the show all the time. And this is MLK's words and I'm going to just make them Bitcoin. So he starts off the speech with, "I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation, and I would add in the history of the world." Is this not what we are doing here in Bitcoin? The greatest demonstration for freedom, opting out of the fiat madness, opting into the Bitcoin network. And as I say all the time, you know, I don't really believe that protesting works. You need to actually have calls to action. You need to make moves. And what better move than to opt out of the fiat system and save in a money that doesn't steal from you, that defunds the perpetual war machine, that takes away the power of the unproductive monetary demons, Anika always calls them. And so, again, I'm not going to read the whole speech, but here's some points that we talk about here on the show all the time. I have a dream that one day this nation, one day the world will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And as Nika always illustrates on this show, it doesn't matter how much money you have, whether it is a million sats, 100,000 sats, or, you know, hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin, you are all equal on the Bitcoin network. No one has special favor on the Bitcoin network. This is a feature, not a bug. And this is why we go so hard every single day to try to get Bitcoin into as many hands as possible, because finally we can all play on a level playing field. And this is what Bitcoin offers to us. And then furthermore, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. I have a dream today. And this is what we say all the time. Bitcoin is a meritocracy. Put in the work, proof of work. Are you providing value to your fellow man? Because if you are, the free market will reward you, and it happens in real time. And this is what we talk about all the time when we say that Bitcoin is the most inclusive, most equitable money in the world. It doesn't care who you are. Are you providing value? Are you offering value to your fellow man? And you will get rewarded the sats. There's no more of this Cantillon insider effect where it just depends on who you know. We have blown that whole economic system out of the water with Bitcoin. And this is why the central planners are so afraid of what we are doing here with Bitcoin, because we are opening up the world to a fairer playing field for everyone and the powers that be. Anyways, I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. What do we say, man? Bitcoin is a peaceful revolution. It brings everything into a fairer field, a playing field. And all the secret behind the scenes, backhanded stuff that these politicians do, these central bankers do to steal from the world will finally be exposed. And we can all build on a solid foundation. Absolutely love it. And then, of course, I got some more quotes here. Nika, tell me when I'm going too far. But I really love this, and we say this all the time in regards to the legacy media. If we are not careful, our colleges will produce a group of closed-minded, unscientific, illogical propagandists consumed with a moral axe. Be careful, brethren. Be careful, teachers. I don't think I need to go on more. You guys seen what happened in the last 2 years. You guys have seen us expose legacy media. You've seen us bring the receipts consistently on this show about what the incentives are to continuously lie to you and ensure that you don't know what's going on and gaslight you. Anyways, true peace is not merely the absence of tension. It is the presence of just what is Bitcoin than justice itself, and exposing everyone for their true incentives. Then again, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Guys, this is where we are right now in the timeline. You, as the Bitcoiner, you are the frontline soldiers. This is the time of challenge and controversy. Continue to keep your heads up. Continue to push through and continue to stack sats. And I think this one is the one that I think as Bitcoiners, we need to take to heart. We know through painful experience that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. What are we not but fiat slaves that we tell you guys all the time? They have stolen from our future, and they're not
going to give up that power easily. This is why we continue to tell you to stack sats. This is why we tell you to take your Bitcoin into cold storage, because the powers that be are not going to give up their power easily. So we have to take it back by a sly roundabout way, which is Bitcoin, because they understand what we understand, that the powers that be do not want to give away that power easily. Bitcoin is a power play, and all you have to do is take Bitcoin into self-custody and continue to stack sats. Anyways, I like that. I'm not going to cover them all because I think we might be running a little late on today's show. But we must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. What do we say every single day on this show? Bitcoin is a peaceful revolution, and we are just trying to take back our money. All we're trying to do is save in Bitcoin. All we want to do is to ensure that these grubby politicians keep their fingers out of my wealth, out of my family's life. And you just opt out of this system, opt into Bitcoin, save in Bitcoin, take Bitcoin into self-custody, use the ethical Bitcoin wallets that we talk about all the time, Cold Card, Jade, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Phoenix, Moon, I don't know, you know all of them. Anyways, I think this one's also a good one, and this is why we tell you guys as Bitcoiners, it's an individual revolution. Take Bitcoin, do what you do best, provide your skills and add Bitcoin on top of it. And like I said, I don't really believe in protesting in the street and you know, in making too much noise other than opting into Bitcoin and telling people to opt into Bitcoin and taking Bitcoin into self-custody. But how's this quote? Every man of humane convictions must decide on the protest that best suits his convictions, but we must all protest. Again, by protesting, Bitcoin is the ultimate protest. By opting out of the central bank madness, you take back your life and take Bitcoin into self-custody. And I think I'll probably end it with this one. Oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself. And I think this is what we're doing as Bitcoiners. I fundamentally believe in humans. I believe that humans, as evil as we can, we also have greatness within us. And this is how we get great technologies like Bitcoin, where you can opt out. It is a freedom tool to build a better life on. And so if you believe in what Martin Luther King, you know, explained and illustrated in his life, then I believe that you should be a Bitcoiner, that you should take Bitcoin into self-custody, because Bitcoin is the most inclusive, equitable money in the world. You do not have to ask permission. All you need to do is save in Bitcoin, take Bitcoin into self-custody, write down your 12 to 24 seed word phrase, and then tell other people about it and live a good life and be a good human. And the ripple effects will go out and the incentives of Bitcoin will continue to win as long as you run the software and you take Bitcoin into self-custody.
Amen.
This is the only protest that matters. Taking Amen. Your money back and saving in Bitcoin.
Oh, they don't call Saint Opti for no reason. Beautiful dude. That I have a dream speech. It's so fitting. I'm curious. I put it through chat GPT, and I'm like, write the I have a dream speech, but make it about Bitcoin, and then see what it does. So interesting. Jonathan, thanks for the super chat. He says, dumping my fiat. LOL. Thank you, man. Really appreciate the love. But yeah, dude, it's so powerful. I agree. But I am going to disagree with you a little bit, Opti. The protest is Bitcoin. This is what you said. You're saying this in the beginning.
I said that.
No, but in the beginning, you said there protests aren't. Let me rephrase it. And I agree with you. Protests aren't useful with the picket signs and the things.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant.
If you want to effectuate change, buy Bitcoin, earn Bitcoin, mine Bitcoin, and take that Bitcoin into self custody. That is how you change things. The other ways, right, which is the picketing, which is the voting, which is the thing, they don't really do much, right? It just, things continue like they continue. Anyways, Jaron, I want to get your thoughts. Are you? I'm assuming you're familiar with MLK.
Yeah, and I didn't know he had that many quotes. Like, what a quote machine! I wish that I could. Generate so many quotes, but yeah, I agree with you both in that like holding up signs and going in the street is never going to change anything. You have to just find a sly roundabout way that actually, like, going with the signs in the street, what you're really trying to do is to affect other people. But you have to just, through your own actions, protest through your own actions, through your own life. And holding Bitcoin is a great way of making a protest.
Yeah, I double down and say it's the only way to make a protest.
100%, 100%. I fundamentally agree with you guys. This is crazy, but this, we don't call it the peaceful revolution for no reason, because it really is. You know, we are changing the system peacefully from within. We have found what Jaron was saying, a sly roundabout way. Anyways, yeah,
can I add one more thing? One more of protest. Course. It's
of course.
Like you said in the beginning, states like California, which have super high taxes. If we don't want to pay these taxes, if you feel like irritated that the government are just wasting this money, then move to a place with lower taxes. And you can actually do that today. You couldn't do that before. And Bitcoin is actually enabling that. Bitcoin, now we can save in Bitcoin instead of purchasing like a house where you put all your money. And by holding Bitcoin, you make it really easy to just move where you want and taking your savings with you.
100%. 100%. Also noticed the shout out to our Rumble listeners. Looks like the live viewing is picking up over there. Appreciate you all. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
Kaboom. Oh man, I love the commitment. Anyway, this is a meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. We already know. We know you come for the first hour just to hear the meme review. But hey, we'll let it slide. We'll let it slide.
Wine.
Exactly. You guys are the frontline soldiers. Continue to meme. Continue to put truth in art and spread the Bitcoin signal far and wide. As we say all the time, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. This is an information war. Do not get it confused. You guys are frontline soldiers in the information war. So let's go. Continue to meme us and continue to tag us in the memes, guys, or put them in our Telegram group, and I will do my best to filter through them. Anyways, this first meme, shouts out to Maxi's Club. You already know I love his work. And this one, if you know, you know. Proudly present the entire Bitcoin blockchain, and it's on a 1 terabyte micro SD card. Absolutely awesome. Make sure you're running the Bitcoin blockchain for yourself, guys. Do not trust someone with your money. Run the software yourself. Continue to decentralize the network by verifying the transactions for yourself. This is the way. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to my boy, Hoddle Tarantula. I really love this one. And he goes, it's more of the quote that he put on top of it, but there is a Bitcoin picture in there, so you guys can't say that it isn't a meme. Anyways, Hoddle Tarantula goes, if a man knows not to which port he sails, no wind is favorable. And you can see the little Bitcoiner in the Bitcoin boat escaping the fiat system collapse, which looks like the Titanic sinking. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to my boy Fartface2K, aka at Fartface2000 on Twitter. And he goes, wake me up when this Bitcoin meme isn't relevant. And this isn't a new one. This is an old meme. And obviously we love it. It's the butt of an elephant. And it goes, the global balance sheet is the whole butt of the elephant. And then it goes a little Bitcoin wart on it and says, again, tell me when this isn't relevant. Bitcoin is tiny in comparison to the global macro markets. There's so much room to grow, and you guys are bearish. Could never be me. Anyways, this next one is by Max Trotter, aka Trotter Max, on Twitter, and he goes, me hodling Bitcoin, and it's a lion with its majestic mane. And then we got a little baby cub going, people searching for what is Bitcoin. This is what you guys are doing. Take this energy with you and go out there and spread the Bitcoin signal. This next one, shouts out to Hodl.rocks, aka Chief Monkey on Twitter. And I think, is this Harambe? I don't know. Anyways, you guys, so in conclusion, by using Bitcoin, you defund tyranny. It's kind of cool. Like, what more do we need to say? This is the best one. And also, like the gorilla telling humans, you know, I think there's some subtle nods in there. This next one, I played you the same or put basically the same meme last week by our boy Nick Kantmaier. But Claudio, a.k.a. C on Twitter, updated the meme. And this is who we all are right now. Current mood of markets, you know, MPC Bitcoiner bought at the top. Now we get a little green candle at the 21K and we're all burnt out and look like Nico and haven't shaved our beard in weeks. And let's fucking go. We're out here. All right. This next one. Apparently, this is Plan Marcus's meme. So shouts out to Plan Marcus. This is why I tagged you on our Twitter. And he goes, sometimes I wish I watermarked, but it's cool to see memes you made being reused. Couldn't resist. Sorry. And this is Dylan LeClaire posting Plan Marcus's meme. Shouts out to you guys. He goes, why do we need crypto? And we got this MPC with no brain. Faster transactions. And the Chad Bitcoiner. No, it's to remove the state from the money printer. And then we got the Cardano creator. It's for more efficient finance. No, it's to remove the state from the money printer. And then we got an NFT shitcoiner and it goes to own digital art. And it's to remove the state from the money printer. This is what we're doing here, guys. For fuck's sake. All right. Anyways.
Oh, man.
Of course, before I go in, drop your meme review score in the chat so that we can cover it live. And so I found this sticker. Shouts out to our sponsor, Cypher Safe. We got the bad dog safe dog sticker. Ooh. Let's go.
Okay, hold on, because you gave it a sticker. Jaren, why don't you give the meme a score while I find my score?
I don't remember all the memes, but I liked the last one best because it really captures what being a Bitcoiner is about. You know, separate the state from the money printer.
Okay, very nice.
It's crypto.
Okay, very nice. Very nice. Okay, I'm going to give it this unconfiscatable wristband.
That thing looks crusty, bro.
It's not crusty. It's been in a cabinet. What are you talking about? It's probably the green screen thing. Anyways, guys, before we get to the meme scores, I want to tell you guys about our awesome clothing sponsor, representltd.com. You see the hat that Opti's wearing? That's part of the Simply Bitcoin merch. That's what's left of the Simply Bitcoin merch, okay? The black hoodie is sold out in small, medium, large. The camo hoodie sold out, medium, small. I think there's a couple larges left. Guys, this is a cap supply. Once the merch drop is done, it's done. It's done and dusted. Done.
Get
and
that
dusted.
Dad hat, though. There's Liddy.
That's the dad hat. They've also got a snapback. You can take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get 10% off anything on the store. But check out the Simply Bitcoin merch. There's a link down below if you guys are interested. Anyways, Opti, let's get to these scores. First one by Phil C. I give the memes 10,000 sats of defiance. Very, very powerful. I love that. I love that, man. That was clever. Okay, next one by the P-Man Van. I give the memes 3 gorillas and 2 chimps mining Bitcoin in Africa. Bananas are an incentive. Oh, man. Jasmina, I give those memes a unibrow. Dude, that would be a popping off video.
They're saying, are you guys saying we have unibrows or like, what's this unibrow meme? I don't get it. Someone said it earlier as well. What is going on? What is going on? Unibrow. Is it my pimple? It's a pimple.
I don't know, bro. I would pay money to see chimpanzees and gorillas mining Bitcoin. That would be a sight to behold. Rope, rating those memes, Opti's weekend bistec with the Rogers. Oh.
Shouts out to the Rogers and KNC Cattle cooking that delicious, delicious steaks over
the
weekend.
Steak? It was so good, man.
It was delicious. Amazing. The damper cut, some ribeyes. We even had some hamburger patties. It was delicious.
Oh man, that sounds amazing. Next one by Nihilist Fields, the polar opposite of Optimist Fields. Score, all Bitcoiners getting rubbed by the Bitcoin company when they centrally issued 21 billion Bitcoin.
Dude, don't fun our boys like that. Come on.
Okay. Igor, meme score, a 25K sat wrench. Oof. Bitcoin Ascent. I give the memes all the Bitcoin conferences coming this year. Yes, very nice. Hope to see you guys all. We gave you guys the promo codes. Brandon, I give the memes a brain wallet getting swept by a P300 brain scan. Very nice. Diogenes, I give the memes a Nico rummaging through his junk drawer for a meme. That is exactly what happened. Flat smack, 100 rocket. I love it.
Next. All right, last one.
I HODL coin. That's the buzzer. I give the memes 1 euro CBDC from Christine Lagarde's Opti's girlfriend.
Guys, Rick, hold on.
No.
Guys, check out the written version of this show, Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. You got to go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin's awesome Telegram chat and group. You got to go to www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. Diogenes.
Sorry. I had to update the meme. Apparently, they're talking about India's central bank head with the unibrow, bro. Okay.
Plebsite or software, I please?
It's software.
Software.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, boys and girls, mainly boys and some girls. Today's software release is Blixit Wallet version 0.6.2, and it's got Croatian language support, LND update, and bugs fixes. Blix Wallet is an open source Lightning Bitcoin wallet with a focus on usability and user experience, powered by LND and Neutrino SPV. Look at this. It looks sexy. Okay, anyways. Nico, first Monday down of the third week of the year.
I want to give a shout out to her.
I'm going to count down all week, all year, hopefully. Remind me what the score is. 3 of 52 so far.
All right, guys. I want to give a shout out to our awesome guest, Zharan from Luxor Mining Pool, friends over at Luxor Mining Pool. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is hard to pronounce. I will not pronounce it. If you really want to find me, you will find me.
Could you pronounce it for us?
Okay, I will try. My Twitter handle. Okay?
Oh, no. I thought you meant your actual name was hard to pronounce. So guys, check out Zharan. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciated. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. What Opti said, this is Monday special. Monday special starting out with spice. If you guys enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like provided you value. And the number one thing you could do to help this channel and help the peaceful revolution is share all Bitcoin content. Share it far and wide. Try to orange pill your family, orange pill your friends. You guys know the drill. The party continues all the way till 2 p.m., so about 40 minutes. With our friend, we're hosting a space with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin, best place to stack shots. Shout out the awesome, the most bestest producer in the game, producer Jacob. So shout out to you, brother. Thank you all for joining us, and we will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.